Montgomery, Georgia, King's Cross. This is FieldPod.com, The Week in Georgia, in English, coming to you from the financial capital of southeastern England. This is lovely London. Today is Thursday, the 9th of July, 2015. On this date in 1776, George Washington orders the Declaration of Independence to be read out loud to members of the Continental Army in New York. 1793, the Act Against Slavery is passed in Canada. 1815, Talleyrand becomes the first Prime Minister of France. 1816, Argentina declares independence from Spain. 1846, Captain John Montgomery of the U.S. Navy raises the U.S. flag over the tiny settlement of Yerba Buena, California, later known as San Francisco. 1850, Persian prophet Bab is executed in Tabriz, Persia, not to be confused with that other prophet, J.R. Bob Dobbs, of slack fame and the Church of the Subgenius. 1877, the Wimbledon tennis tournament begins and is, of course, rained out. 1915, 100 years ago today, Germany surrenders Southwest Africa, now Namibia, to South Africa. 1903, sorry, a little bit before then, Stalin is exiled to Siberia for 3 years. 1918, William Faulkner joins the Royal Air Force. 1922, Johnny Weissmuller swims the 100-meter freestyle in 58.6 seconds, breaking the world swimming record and the minute barrier. 1941, British cryptologists break the Enigma code used by the German Army to direct ground air operations on the Eastern Front. 1947, General Eisenhower appoints Florence Branchfield, a lieutenant colonel in the U.S. Army, making her the first woman in U.S. history to hold permanent military rank. 1981, Donkey Kong, the video game created by Nintendo, is released. The game marks the debut of Nintendo's future mascot, Mario. 2011, South Sudan gains independence and secedes from Sudan. Birthdays today are photographer Minor White, asshole Donald Rumsfeld, Dr. Oliver Sacks, architect Michael Graves, painter David Hockney, and actor Tom Hanks. I'm your host, Mark Mullen. As ever, this podcast was written by Ari Swiecka. My Georgian Journal and Treaties Politics column this week is about Greece, Grexit, how this will make both the Euro and EU stronger, and what it all means for Georgia. Thanks again for those posting to the forum. If you'd like to comment or ask a question, go to tpeelpod.com or send us an email at tpeelpod, T-B-L-P-O-D, at gmail.com. On the 2nd of July, the prosecutor's office charged former defense minister Dato Kezilishvili with appropriation of property from private persons during his time in office. They claim that in August 2010, Kezilishvili used his position as minister to appropriate a company involved in processing oil products and dry goods in Poti Port. The appropriation then brought him benefits worth tens of millions annually. The owners of the business, Buy Media Investments Limited, were a father and son, Tamaz and Zura Nijaradze. The business was involved in the reloading of goods from ships to train cars based on an agreement with Poti Seaport Corporation Investments Limited. The agreement was signed for a duration of 10 years. The two were also owners of Mission Investment Limited, which had exclusive rights to processing oil products in Poti Port. 2010, Tamaz Nijaradze owned 52.5% shares in Metalex Limited, which from 2003 to 2008, he leased the number 5 berth in Poti Port and was processing dry goods. The prosecutor's office claimed that Kezilishvili became interested, met with the businessman Nijaradze in the Pixel building in Tbilisi, and through violent threats, demanded that the company shares that were in the name of the father and son be transferred to his name. In addition, from the 15th to the 17th of August that year, a special operative group of the Ministry of Internal Affairs was illegally placed in Nijaradze's house, obstructing his free movement, conducted continuous surveillance, and exercised psychological pressure on him. Prosecutor's office says that, quote, as a result of violence and psychological pressure, a few days after the threats, Tamaz Nijaradze and his son Zura Nijaradze gave up their shares in Buy Media Investment Limited, 100%, Mission Investment Limited, 60.18%, and later on, Metalex, 52.5%, which cost tens of millions of lari. They gave it up free of charge to Dato Kezilishvili's companies, Davor Holding Limited, Axton Overseas Development Limited, and Steinlord Enterprises. Steinlord, interesting name for a shell company. Fake contract was signed with the Nijaradzes with the record that $6 million was paid for the shares to building the price of Bimedia Investments Limited was confidential, and the price of Metalex Limited was 1,050 lari. The only way for them to get their property back is with a trial. Currently, the companies which Kezadashvili allegedly appropriated from them belong to someone else. Prosecutor's office claims they have a witness regarding the harassment and pressure on the Nijeradzes. As a reminder, in February 2013, Kezadashvili was charged along with former Tbilisi mayor Gigi Ugulava with the appropriation of state money and money laundering. The trial is not finished. In May 2014, additional charges were introduced for another case of allegedly appropriating state money. Kezashvili was acquitted of other charges related to accepting a bribe of $12.3 million. In February 2014, France rejected Georgia's extradition request for Kezashvili, who is a citizen of Israel. Following up on the 13th of June flood, the Crown Prince of Saudi Arabia is donating $300,000 to assist the flood victims of Tbilisi. As a reminder, the Crown Prince Al-Walid bin Talal bin Abdulaziz Al-Saud visited Georgia only a few weeks ago. According to the Foreign Ministry, the Georgian ambassador to Saudi Arabia had met with the prince the week of the flood and informed him about the disaster. The prince offered to help, and about $135,000 has been raised in Kazakhstan to help the people affected by the Tbilisi flood. Kazakhstan's largest city, Almaty, hosted a week of Georgian cinema to raise money for the cause. $10,000 was raised at the event. Meanwhile, Kazakh Airlines Air Astana donated $30,000, and Georgia's honorary consul, Mikhail Sebua, transferred $50,000 to the Tbilisi Flood Victim Fund. The body of a dead tiger that was still unaccounted for from the Tbilisi Zoo was found on the 5th of July. It was recovered from mud and debris not far from the zoo, close to the place where another tiger from the zoo attacked and killed a man on the 17th of June. Director of the Tbilisi Zoo, Zura Gurialidze, now said that the dead tiger found on the 5th of July was the last wild animal unaccounted for. Somewhat related, in the morning of the 9th of July, there was a small landslide in the village Akhaldaba near Tbilisi. It's the same place where a landslide caused the catastrophic flood in the Vere River Valley on the 13th of June. The new landslide damaged a road and utility pipe that supplies households with natural gas, but there was no further damage. Following up on Misha's governor of Odessa ship, Misha has now said on his Facebook that the U.S. government will be paying his staff salaries and that California police will train Odessa's police officers. The announcement comes after he met with Jeffrey Pyatt, the U.S. ambassador to Ukraine. California State Police, what is that, like state troopers? That seems a little weird. I wonder if it's a city municipal police department. Following up on last week's stories, Ukraine's health minister, Sandro Kvitashvili, did resign last Thursday, the 2nd of July. When we reported this last week, it was still unconfirmed. His resignation comes after harsh criticism from the Ukrainian parliament and even from Misha, his former boss and currently informal leader. As a reminder, Kvitashvili was appointed health minister of Ukraine in December 2014 after accepting Ukrainian citizenship. In Ukraine on the 6th of July, there was a joint operation between the General Prosecutor's Office and Security Service where they arrested the deputy head of the Prosecutor's Office Investigating Department and the deputy prosecutor of the Kiev region on suspicion of corruption and taking large-scale bribes. When they searched the offices, they found some $500,000 in cash and jewelry. As a reminder, the first Deputy Prosecutor General of Ukraine, who was responsible for the search, is former official Dato Sakhvaralidze. President Poroshenko said the case would be under his personal control and that they will have a zero-tolerance policy on corruption, especially involving high-level officials. There were rumors or reports in Ukrainian media that the acting prosecutor general, Volodymyr Huzier, initiated criminal proceedings against Sakhvaralidze related to an internal investigation that the law enforcement officers who conducted the search exceeded their authority. He afterwards denied that there were any proceedings against Sakhvaralidze. Interesting. Following up on last week's story, when the president of Turkmenistan visited, during his visit, he discussed with President Margvelashvili energy projects involving the potential transit of Turkmen gas via the South Caucasus to European markets. As a reminder, on the 1st of May 2015, the energy minister of Turkey and ministers of Turkey and Azerbaijan, the head of Turkmenistan's Hydrocarbon Resources Agency, as well as the European Commission vice president in charge of energy union, met in Ashgabat, Turkmenistan, and agreed to work on a legal framework agreement on natural gas supply from Turkmenistan to Europe. European Commission vice president in charge of energy union said that the EU expects supplies of Turkmen gas to begin by 2019. This is very important. Georgia has demanded that Russia pay 70 million euros in compensation for damages related to the deportation of Georgian nationals from Russia in 2006. As a reminder, on the 3rd of July 2014, the European Court of Human Rights ruled that the arrest, detention, and collective expulsion of Georgian nationals from Russia in the autumn of 2006 violated the European Convention of Human Rights. Georgia filed the complaint with the ECHR in 2007 and asked the court to award the compensation for pecuniary and non-pecuniary damages. In the ruling last July, the ECHR called on Georgia and Russia to try to negotiate on compensation and submit an agreement to the court within 12 months. The Ministry of Justice has said that it requested the court to facilitate the negotiations back in September. The court responded that it would only be responsible at a later stage and that they also haven't received any proposal from the Russian Ministry of Justice. Surprise, surprise. So now the Georgian Ministry of Justice has submitted a written opinion to the ECHR about compensation and that the amount of 70.3 million euros is based on the ECHR's previous decisions in similar cases. Human Rights Court says Russia has until the 9th of October to submit its arguments against Georgia's position on compensation. On the 8th of July, two-week-long joint military exercises were launched at the Vaziani base outside of Tbilisi involving Georgian soldiers, along with up to 220 U.S. Marines and platoon-sized units from Bulgaria, Latvia, Lithuania, and Romania. The drills, Agile Spirit 2015, involved exercises in peacekeeping. And, you know, what happened to things like Barbarossa or something like that? Why do they have, like, these goofy names now? Involve exercises in peacekeeping and support operations. Service members from the 42nd Battalion of the 4th Mechanized Brigade of the Georgian Armed Forces are participating in the drills. Representatives from Armenia and Moldovan Armed Forces are attending the exercises as observers. NATO Secretary General Jens Stoltenberg will visit Georgia in August and open the NATO-Georgia Joint Training and Evaluation Center. Defense Minister Tinico Hidacheli announced Stoltenberg's visit in an interview with Spanish news agency EFE. She also noted that NATO officers would be permanently stationed in Georgia after the center opened. In a written opinion, the National Bank advised the government to cut expenses and revise its tax policy in order to avoid lari's fluctuation. National Bank sent Parliament its recommendation letter over the adjusted 2015 state draft budget, concluding that it didn't reflect properly all ways to eliminate problems. They said the Georgian economy is in significant shock from the strengthening of the U.S. dollar, as well as because of difficult geopolitical situations in the region. They continue that, quote, "This shock has been further aggravated by the process going on inside the country, including unfounded allegations made against the policy of the National Bank and possible weakening of bank supervision," end quote, which is truly right. The central bank suggests that a correct response to the shock would be to funnel increased revenues to a targeted solution of social and other issues, and it is necessary to work out an alternative policy in order to minimize adverse effects for the population. And by this, they mean a significant reduction in budget expenses and to utilize current tax mechanisms, as mentioned during the consultations with the IMF. As a reminder, last week the National Bank mentioned expected problems of financial and monetary stability by increasing refinancing rate to 5.5%. The rate will further increase to 6.6% by the end of the year. Parliament is currently considering adjusting the draft budget. Again, following up on previous stories, on the 4th of July, the UNM appointed parliamentarian Sergo Ratiani as the party's new executive secretary. Ratiani replaces Zura Japaridze, who quit the national movement along with three other lawmakers in late May. The UNM said that Ratiani was elected by the party's 62-member political council, Member of Parliament Georgi Vashadze was another candidate who did not succeed and is reputed to be Misha's sort of predominant minion in Parliament. Following up on Greek debt crisis affecting Georgia, Economy Minister Georgi Kvitakashvili said that halted money transfers will not hamper the flow of money sent home by Georgian migrants in Greece. As a reminder, there's no official data on how many Georgians are living in Greece legally or illegally, but some estimates put the number at about 200,000. Reportedly, the remittances they send home make up about 6% of the country's GDP. Kvitakashvili explains that the money is usually sent home once a month and once per 3 months, so it's not a big deal if there's 1 week interruption of the bank transfers. That's true, except the Greek economy is such a mess that the remittances from Greece have been enormously cut, and that is a problem for Georgia. A 42-year-old Georgian mob boss and 35 others, mostly Georgian nationals, were arrested in Madrid, the Basque Country, Valencia, and other places in Spain on the 3rd of July. Interpol called the raid, quote, the most important development in 2015 against such criminal organizations. According to Spanish police, arrested thief in Las Villas Darsadze was at the center of the vast criminal ring specializing mostly in burglary, but also in forgery, arms, and money trafficking. What is money trafficking? Moving around money and money laundering. Darsadze is a native of Kutaisi, apart from Spain, the ring was also active in Germany and France. The group was basically stealing jewelry from private apartments, melting them to produce bullion. In Georgia, police arrested 11 individuals for the illegal purchase, transportation, and sale of weapons, military gear, and explosive devices. According to an investigation, the criminal group was selling weapons in Gori and South Ossetia. Following up on the Georgian Citizen reported killed fighting in Ukraine last week, Misha wrote on his Facebook that Kote Lashkia actually drowned in the Azov Sea and that it was an accident. But this is not confirmed. The body was sent to a morgue in Mariupol. Next round of Abashidze-Karasin talks will be in Prague on the 15th of July. The meeting will include representatives of Georgia's Ministry of Economy and Russia's Transport Ministry. On the 7th of July, the Netherlands ratified the association agreement between Georgia and the EU. The Austrian parliament ratified it on the 8th of July. There's going to be a new metro station on the Sabartalo line. The new university station will extend from Vajdashvili station, which is currently the last stop, and will be located near Tbilisi State University's Maglevi 10 building on University Street. There will also be restoration works on the existing tunnel operating between the Vajdashvili and Tbilisi stations. The Spanish joint venture has been selected to build it, and it's expected to cost 83 million lari to build. According to Georgia's Municipal Development Fund, the Spanish companies are carrying out preparatory work that should be conducted within a month, and construction work start after that. The new station should be finished within 2 years. The project is being funded by the Asia Development Bank with assistance from the Municipal Development Fund. There were already discussions on the design of the new metro station between Tbilisi Metropolitan, the managing company of municipal transport, and Spanish consulting firm Eurostudio. When complete, the university station will be the 23rd metro station in Tbilisi. On the 6th of July, four construction workers died during demolition works on a building on Apkidze Street close to the sports palace. Three workers died on the spot. One was pulled alive from the rubble and rushed to hospital, but died a few hours later. The building formerly housed the Institute of Physics and Mathematics and is being demolished to give way for the construction of a hotel. According to the head of the construction workers' trade union, this is the 8th reported incident at construction sites involving fatalities this year. Frustrating how bad worker safety is in Georgia, and considering how much effort was put into job protection into the labor law, there was very, very little worker safety protection put in there. Fining employers is always an excellent way to do that. Updates on ticket sales for UEFA Super Cup match between Barcelona and Sevilla FC. No more biletebi.ge. Tickets will be sold from booths at the Michal Meschi Stadium in Tbilisi starting from the 12th of July at 9 a.m. There will be a special path from Vake Park to the stadium. Groups of 50 people at a time will be allowed to reach the booths after passing through the path, and police will protect the area. Water will be free for people in the crowd. City Hall will provide toilets, and the Ministry of Internal Affairs will provide security. About 22,000 tickets will be sold. As a reminder, the match will be played on at Dynamo Stadium on the 11th of August. Georgian football fans trampled on an Azerbaijani flag after a match between Dynamo and Gabala in Tbilisi on the 2nd of June. The UEFA Europa League qualifier ended 2-1 to the home team. Azerbaijani media reported that Georgian fans attacked the Azerbaijani fans, took away their flag, and trampled on it. Earlier that match, Georgian fans brought a large poster with a note, and I quote, supposedly, "We remember Zakatala and Kakh in 1921, the historical province of Zangilo, which is populated partly by Georgians, is today part of Azerbaijan. Georgian football fans often brought up the history and claimed it is a historical Georgian territory improperly given to the Azerbaijan Soviet Socialist Republic in the early 20s by Bolsheviks. Prime Minister Irakli Kharibashvili expressed concern about the incident. He underlined the importance of the strategic partnership between Georgia and Azerbaijan and that they will not allow anyone to carry out provocations that threaten relations. He asked the Ministry of Internal Affairs to study the incident. The Georgian Coast Guard fined the captain of a cargo ship 50,000 lari for violating navigation safety rules. The ship was sailing under the flag of Comoros, a tiny state located in the Comoro Archipelago off the East African coast. The captain was a Turkish national. Priest Ilya Kartosia, who drowned while helping save other passengers on board the burning Italian ferry Norman Atlantic on December 2014, has been posthumously honored by the International Maritime Organization, the UN agency that presents awards to people who show extraordinary bravery. This year, at the 114th session, they named Kartosia as the Hero of the Year, following a proposal from the Maritime Transport Agency of the Economy Ministry. Anybody knows of any journalists, Italian speaking, who've written anything in English or Italian or any other language about actually what the priest did, I'd be interested in reading it because it sounds like he was really, really quite an amazing guy. New train station officially opened earlier this week in Batumi, called Batumi Central. Previously, the train didn't reach the center of the city. The last stop on the line was Mahinjauri, 5 kilometers north of Batumi. National Food Agency seized 200 kilos of suspicious meat at the Desaritebi market in Tbilisi last week. They said the meat was prepared by Becca 2015 Limited, but did not have a seal of approval. The seal confirms that a veterinary inspection was conducted before and after the animal was slaughtered. The company was not able to present documents that such an inspection was carried out and were fined a whopping 1,000 lari. The manager of Kazantip called Georgians ridiculous, poor, and wild. He was told that people were demolishing a sculpture put up at the Kazantip Festival in Anaklia last summer. He claimed that the rest of the infrastructure built for Kazantip can be used to offer services, but better to demolish the sculpture so that no one guesses who built it at all. The historical monuments of Mskhete have a chance to return to the UNESCO World Heritage List after being relegated to the list of World Heritage Site in Danger in 2009 when the Georgian government started messing around with them. UNESCO discussed the issue at its 39th session. Georgia has a year to meet the criteria outlined by UNESCO. If they meet it, Mskhete will regain status as World Heritage Sites in 2016. Meanwhile, there's a similar situation about Gelati Church in Kutaisi. Georgia will present the Gelati and Bagrati churches to UNESCO as two separate monuments so the Gelati could regain World Heritage status while Bagrati will remain among the World Heritage Sites in danger. It was more or less in ruins, and then it was all sort of dolled up under Misha, which the UNESCO had requested not happen. Georgian junior judoka team won 3 gold, 3 silver, and 5 bronze medals at the 2015 Cadet European Championship in Bulgaria. Georgian tennis player Nikolos Basilashvili is moving on to the third round of the Wimbledon tournament. He defeated Spanish opponent who's ranked more than 100 places higher than him in a qualification match. By winning this match, Basilashvili gained 90 ranking points, giving him a high possibility of entering the world's top 100 singles players list. On the 1st of July, Prime Minister's office at Tbilisi City Hall launched an internationally recognized applied behavioral analysis program that offers free treatment to people with autism. There was a fire in Gardabani in southern Georgia on the 5th of July. Several abandoned houses burned down. Hundreds of firefighters and rescue workers managed to put out the fire with the aid of helicopters. Area of several tens of acres were burned. The firefighters believe it started due to dry grass and heat. There's a limited edition silver collector's coin symbolizing the 2015 European Youth Olympic Festival being held in Tbilisi later in July. National Bank of Georgia President Georgi Kadigidze presented the collector coin designed by painter Mamuka Gungadze. One side features the European Youth Olympic Festival emblem and the Olympic sports icon. You know those figurines around Rustavele of people doing sports. While the reverse side has a map of Europe and the symbol of the National Bank and the lari. There are 3,000 copies of the coin, and they're being sold for 65 lari each. Performing at the Tbilisi Open Air Festival last weekend, Tatar-Russian rocker Zemfira unfolded a blue and yellow Ukrainian flag, much to the delight of the audience. Georgian government has launched a new initiative, Film in Georgia, to develop the local film industry and get Georgian international attention as a filming location. As part of the state program, Produce in Georgia, the government is offering to cover 20% of filming costs for filmmakers who choose to shoot feature films, TV movies, drama series, soap operas, animation, and documentary films in Georgia. The guidelines state that only legal entities registered in Georgia are eligible to be benefactors of the program. Total filming must not be shorter than 3 days for filmmakers to be considered. Parliamentary news. On the 3rd of July, Parliament approved with its final reading legislative amendments increasing the one-time payment for families of police officers killed in the line of duty to 100,000 lari. The government proposed amendments also sets a monthly payment to those families at 1,000 lari. As a note, a similar scheme will apply to employees of the planned state security services. Same compensation scheme was introduced for families of fallen service members in the armed forces in 2013. Following up on previous week's stories, on the 8th of July, Parliament passed with its third and final reading a package of legislative amendments envisaging the decoupling of security and intelligence agencies from the Interior Ministry. The bill has to be signed by President Mark Velashvili into law before it is enacted. Within 5 days after the bill goes into force, Prime Minister Khadabashvili will have to name a head of the State Security Service, the new agency which will be established from the 1st of August. According to the bill, a candidate should not be a member of any political party. The agency will unite the Counterterrorism Center, Counterintelligence, Anti-Corruption Agency, Operative Technical Department, which is the eavesdropping agency in charge of surveillance operations, and the Special Operations Department. The counterintelligence, counterterrorism, and security and anti-corruption units will be empowered with investigative functions and will also have the right to carry out detentions. As a reminder, the proposed bill was not supported by lawmakers from UNM and the Free Democrats. The meme this week is something not so funny. On the 11th of July, a young woman posted a video on her Facebook where she describes police abuse. She works at the Vitamin Cubes up at Turtle Lake and was saying that late one night there was a scuffle. She had tried to break up a fight. The police came, but the fight was over, and then the police started swearing and insulting her. One grabbed her by the throat. They threw her on the ground and kicked her. It's been shared over 6,000 times and viewed over 100,000 times. The Ministry of Internal Affairs responded with a video of them bringing the girl to the police station in Vaki Sabartalo. Everything looked calm. They deny any abuse. But all of these are on the forum if you want to take a look. Michael Birnbaum of the Washington Post says that Russia's influence in Georgia is growing and attributes it to a kind of vacuum because EU leaders are wary of following the Ukraine conflict and because of Misha's absence. It doesn't seem very insightful to me. Tornike Shadashidze argues in ecfr.eu that Misha will not take any half measures in reforming Odessa. Guardian explores how Tbilisi is recuperating from the zoo disaster. Calvert Journal explores 6 Georgian documentaries coming out this year. It's interesting. Take a look. CRC asks, how good is your internet in Tbilisi? Interview with academic Paul Manning on sleazy transitions of Georgia in the 1990s. Always excellent when sleazy is used by journalists. Democracy Freedom Watch reports on tensions in the Russian-Abkhaz relations over the Treaty on Alliance and Integration. The Balkanist looks at the numerous national Mothers of Socialism monuments throughout the former Soviet Union and features Deda Kartli. All these things Reader posted. Geocapital number is 23. That's the number of people undergoing the Ministry of Health's new hepatitis C elimination program that have been cured after 1 month of treatment. The treatment program is free. 1,700 patients are currently receiving treatment within the program. For those in Brussels, the International Partnership for Human Rights and the Open Society Europe, European Policy Institute, are hosting an expert discussion on Electric Yerevan, Freedom of Assembly and Civic Culture in Armenia. It's on the 14th of July at 11 a.m. RSVP to Ellen, E-L-L-E-N, Mulder, M-U-L-D-E-R, at opensocietyfoundations.org. It'll be at the Open Society European Policy Institute office in Brussels. In London, there's a Khingali-making workshop at the Georgian with Georgian cook Anna Tpileli. This Saturday, the 11th of July at 3 p.m., it's held at the First Georgian School in the UK. Book with them at anna_mironova@yahoo.com. You can also look for them under Facebook on Facebook under Walnut and Spice. That's it for this week. My Twitter address is at TXTBUK. That's Tango X-ray, Tango Bravo, Uniform Kilo. Our email is tpilpod@gmail.com or post to the forum on our website, www.tpilpod.com. And we will finish with, from 1973, this is John Holt and Alibaba.
Dream last night was about Alibaba with the 40 thieves. Tom, the Piper's son, he was there with me. I rode through a valley with a princess by my side. The Duke and the Duchess was there to meet me with a smile. Alice was there in Wonderland, staring far away. The tree blind mice was there with me to tell the teddy bear the tale. The teddy bear came smiling there with a big smile. The little bo peep has lost her sheep last night. Dream last night about Alibaba with the 40 thieves. Tom, the Piper's son, he was there with me. I rode through the valley with the princess by my side. The Duke and the Duchess did a reggae last night. Last night was about Alibaba with the 40 thieves. Tom, the Piper's son, he was there with me. I rode through the valley with the princess by my side. I did the reggae last night with the princess, my bride. The Duke and the Duchess was there with me to meet me with a smile. Alice was there in Wonderland, staring far away. I did the reggae last night. Ooh, yeah. Do the reggae last night.